The other night I started describing what Jesus Christ went through. And I don't know about you, man, but when you start reading about what he went through and the suffering that he suffered and all the things and the Bible talks about, he says in Acts 2, when Peter's preaching, he said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I don't know about you, but that does something for me, man. Knowing that Jesus Christ went through hell for me and 3 days and three nights and then went into the and preached to spirits in prison. Then he went over in the paradise and then he led captivity captive. I said Ephesians 2 the other night, but Ephesians 4, he led captivity captive, gave gifts on the men. There's seven resurrections in the Bible, and there's seven of them. And we're going to read this morning about, I mean, if I asked the average Christian in here, if I went around the room and asked the average Christian, can you show me a verse on the resurrection? The average Christian can't do it. The average Christians, even sitting in here, can't show me a verse on the resurrection. And Jesus told Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then the Bible talks about living a resurrection life. That's a life of joy and peace. And as a Christian, you got God inside you. You got something that big, like Ryan said, you got something that big that moves inside here. You should know it, amen? And something that big inside you, it ought to do something for you. And the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You bought the price. So if you're grieving him, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself to be able to live that joyful resurrection life. I was down on the street last night, and I was sitting on the bench, and I started talking to this girl, and she's about half drunk. And that's the way most Christians are today. I'm talking about Christians now. And I asked her, I said, are you saved? She goes, yeah, I'm saved. I said, really, how'd you get saved? And then she started telling me. And I said, my Lord, girl, what are you doing out here? And she said, then I told her, I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And she took off. And man, I tell you what, find a lot of Christians that not living that resurrection life. Yeah. And a lot of Christians can't tell you where the Bible talks about the resurrection. Now, we also believe, in the resurrection is a rapture called the rapture of the church. And we believe the rapture is real close. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe the Lord's coming back real soon. You say, man, you know what? People say, I've heard that all my life. Hey, I've been saved 40-some years. I've heard it all my life. I've read it, but I know it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
And I'm ready for it.
Sure.
And the longer I live, the more I want the Lord to come back. The longer I live, I want him to come back, man. I want him to come back now. There's nothing here, man. Nothing here that's going to hold me here. I want to go. I want to get out of here. That's a selfish reason, but I want to see people saved too. And I want to see people know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about the resurrection. And I mean, man, when the Bible talks about that, take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I talk to people all the time and ask them about different things. If you ask people, give me two verses on the resurrection, or give me two verses on the rapture, or give me two verses on the blood, give me a couple verses on this, most Christians cannot, but they can tell you who's in the final four, or the sweet 16. I watch that. Now, don't get me wrong, I watch it. And I mean, the final eight, and I watched Virginia the other night, and I watched Villanova, the Wildcats win. I mean, I watch that stuff, man, I like that stuff. And man, people get excited about it. You've seen people, man, they were interviewing people. They were going crazy. Oh, I can't believe it. They're going like that, man.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going crazy over something. They said, we did it. The guy didn't even bounce a ball. And he's going nuts. He wasn't even on the team. And he's going crazy. And I mean, all these sports events, people are going crazy over things. But man, I tell you what, one day I'm going to be in people's faces when the rapture takes place, brother. I'm going to go, woo! I told you! Just like they do with the sports events.
Amen.
I like NASCAR. I like to see who won NASCAR. I like to see the race. Matter of fact, I would love to drive the race on NASCAR. I would love to drive. I would love to give me a microphone with 100,000 people out there and preach to them the whole time while I'm driving around. They couldn't catch me. That'd be so much fun. Man, I'm having fun, man. Having fun in Christianity. But then I was sitting on a plane one time, and I asked the lady, I said, are you saved? She said, yes, sir, I believe in the full gospel. And I said, really? The full gospel. She said, yes, sir, I believe in the full gospel. I said, can you tell me what it is? She couldn't even tell me what it was. Here's is the full gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. And this lady, she's supposed to be a Christian. She couldn't even tell me what the full gospel was. Now, how many of y'all know what the gospel is? Now, people afraid to lift their hand now. You're afraid I might ask you what it is. Hey, man, you're supposed to know what that is. As a child of God, you're supposed to know about the resurrection. You're supposed to know about some of y'all here because, you just Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. How many of y'all know Easter was a word put in only in the King James Bible? It was put in there, and we call it Easter Sunday, but it was a pagan holiday. How many of y'all know that? It was put in the Bible, but it was not because the disciples' holiday. It was called Herod's holiday. And Jesus Christ rose on the Resurrection Sunday, which was close to Easter. And Resurrection Sunday, we see the trees out front. You see all nature, man, we get excited about, man, about resurrection, about Easter. Why? It shows new life. Amen. Mama, tell you something. Some of y'all this morning, I was watching while you were singing. Everybody, some of the folks shouting, somebody smile. Some of y'all need to resurrect your smile once in a while. Amen. I mean, you don't even smile, man. God have mercy. If that was Christianity, I wouldn't want no part of it. If the way you act. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's the gospel. You want to know what the gospel is? Here it is. We're going to cover some things this morning. It says, moreover, brethren, Paul writing, I declare unto you what? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. I stand in the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. According to scriptures. We're not going to go by hearsay. We're not going to go by what so-and-so says or so-and-so said. We're going according to the scripture. It says, wherein I stand. He says, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried. That's part of the gospel. And it says, and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, even then of the 12. Now, you know, we have Sunday night service around here. Yeah, we do. The reason why we have Sunday, a lot of churches cancel Sunday night. They can't get people come back. And they can't get, Methodist church a long time ago canceled Sunday night. And the reason why we have Sunday night service, if you read your Bible, you'll find when Jesus told Mary, he said, you go tell my disciples, I'll meet them in Galilee. The Bible says they went in the upper room, and it was evening time, the first day of the week. Jesus came in. Guess who wasn't there? Who wasn't there? Who wasn't there? His name is Doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said this. He said, unless I see it, unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe it. So the next time Jesus shows up, he walks in the room. There's Thomas. He doesn't waste no time. He walks over to Thomas and says, hey, Thomas, look, you want to see? You said you wouldn't believe unless you seen. Look, touch my hand. Would you want the Lord to do that with you? I don't want Jesus to come up to me and say, you doubter? You doubt my word? Let's look on. The Bible says, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above what? How many? 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained on this time present. But some had fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. Who's that seen of me? Paul. And he says, I am the least of the apostles. And that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Paul saying, man, what he gave me, I tell you what, I ran with it. What he did for me, I'm doing something with it. It's not in vain. Let me ask you something. In your life, is the gospel in vain? Is it in vain what God's done for you after you trusted Jesus Christ? Is it vain? Are you living for him? Are you living that resurrecting life? Are you giving him honor? You giving him praise? Are you living it? Because why? It's a victory. It's a victory. What happens is you get tired of fighting it. You say, oh, man, I tell you what, once you get tired, just say, okay, Lord, I give up. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. What I feel makes no difference. What I want makes no difference. What you want in my life makes the biggest difference. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus Christ alive today? Say amen. Is he in your heart? Say amen. If he is. If he's in your heart. I'm not doubting your salvation. If you say you're saved, praise the Lord. Are you living it? Are you living that resurrection life? You know what people are supposed to do? They're supposed to be able to see Jesus Christ in you. They're supposed to be able to see it. I mean, folks, the Lord wants something in your life. And he just doesn't want just part of you. The Lord wants all of you. He'll take what he can get, but he wants all of it. I see Christian kids in church, and it seems like they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they got used to it. You know what David did? David, when he got discouraged, he stirred himself up. So what were we doing this morning? What were we doing singing up here? And we're shouting and everything. What were we doing? Trying to stir up the dead. Trying to stir you up to make you remember what God did for you. Make you appreciate what he's done for you. And you start thanking him. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start thanking him, all your worries and troubles, all that stuff, just flies away. Let's look on down. Look what the Bible says. He says, I am what I am. He said, verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say, some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, if you know of your Bible, you'll know Pharisees and Sadducees. You know the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. When Paul preached, Paul perceived one time he was in the middle of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the Bible says that he perceived it, and he said, men and brethren, I am brought before you today as a believer, and he talked about the resurrection. And then he had a bunch of Pharisees over here going, yeah, man, that's right. We believe in the resurrection. And the Sadducees, and the reason why they're sad, you see, is because they don't believe in a resurrection. Yeah, right. And why you all are sad this morning, you don't believe you're a Sadducee. Sad, you see. Amen. So this is for you Sadducees.
Yeah.
Are you sad, you see? All right. Yeah, you're picking on us. Yeah, I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. And yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. He's saying, if we're preaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and all that, and he didn't, we're false prophets. Now I'm going to ask you again, how many of y'all believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave?
Amen.
He said this, he said, no man taking my life. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up.
Amen.
I want to serve that kind of God, a powerful God. Now look at this. Where were we? Verse 16. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. If there is no resurrection, folks, now we needed the death. We needed the burial. We needed, most of all, out of those three, all three are important. We needed the resurrection. If Jesus Christ could not raise from the dead, then our preaching is vain. What we're doing here this morning is stupid if our preaching is vain, if Jesus Christ didn't raise. What we're doing here this morning, singing, he's alive. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
What we're doing is stupid. And that's the way the world looks at it.
Yeah.
And I hope you don't agree with them. And I hope you're not on there. I was there out there when there was street preaching, and a bunch more people come out of the bar. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, Wow, look at these folks. Sad. It's sad. And I'm standing there close to them. Then I thought, I'm not going to stand with them. I got over it by my truck. I ain't standing with them. I stood over there. I stood away, and they looked at me. I don't want to be around that crowd.
Amen.
I don't want to be around that crowd that won't live for God. You know, they preach in front of that bar. You know why people get, most of the people that probably got mad is probably Christians. They probably got saved and ain't living right. And you know what people, I find in churches, the people that really get mad the most are mostly Christians that backslid.
Yeah.
They get mad. Now look what the Bible says. Woo, I love them. Ain't you, don't you love this? Ain't we having fun?
Amen. Come on.
We're having fun, ain't we? Look what the Bible says. Now if Christ, verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? You know, the Bible talks about the first fruits. You know, in the rapture of the church, there's going to be, Jesus Christ is called the first fruits. Then there's going to be a harvest. And then there's a gleaming. If you read the Bible in the Old Testament, there's a first fruits. If you're a farmer, you know what I'm talking about. You go out and the first fruits is coming up. Jesus Christ is called the first fruit. And then the harvest is the rapture when everybody goes. But then there's a gleaming. And the gleaming is in the tribulation period. It's right here. The gleaming. Here's the harvest right here. Jesus Christ, first fruits. Here's the harvest there. And then you got the gleaming in the tribulation. And I was telling somebody the other night, I said, man, you know why it's so important? You think about all, I was telling, I don't know who I was telling about the tribulation. I was telling somebody about the tribulation period, about what's coming out of the bottomless pit. There's going to be mutations. See, the devil, when he fell, when the angels fell with him, they mutated and became like the devil himself. That's why they're monsters. Have you noticed all the movies that people are showing now? All these monsters coming out of the pit. Monsters on the earth. They're showing all that stuff. And they're mutations. And man, and I was telling this guy, I said, man, can you imagine in the tribulation period, all this stuff going on, and then a person can't get saved unless they endure to the end and believe in Jesus? I said, I don't want my grandkids to be there. I don't want my children to be there. And what kind of Christian are we when we say we believe Jesus Christ resurrected and we ain't got enough backbone in Christianity, resurrection, fellowship in us that we can overcome when Jesus said you can overcome this world? I don't want my kids and my grandkids to be here. Look what the Bible says. Verse 20. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by Adam came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. That's the harvest. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Aren't you going to be glad? No more death. I get calls all the time. This so-and-so died. My cousin died. My relative died. My father died. My sister died. All this time. All the time. I get sick of hearing about death. Wears you out. You go, oh God, come back, Lord. No more death. The Bible says, it says, why, he said, verse, where are we at? Verse 27. For he that put all things under his feet, but when he saith to all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they that do or are baptized for the dead? Here's a verse the Mormons love to use. If the dead raise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? We baptized some folks the other day. And what people don't realize, the Mormons try to use that verse. That's why the Mormons study genealogy. And they'll baptize people. They said, you got a cousin? He wasn't a Mormon? We'll baptize you for him. And we'll baptize him for this one and baptize for that one. And they say that guarantees them first heaven. If that's the first heaven is the atmosphere. The Mormons are crazy. That's crazy. And the Bible talks about the death, burial, and resurrection. And when we baptize people, we baptize the folks. They says, by the authority invested in me as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother and sister, upon your testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death. Death. Christian, we're supposed to die to self. We got to die to self and raise the newness of life. When's the last time you asked the Lord, what should I do, Lord? What should I do? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Lord, bless this day. Use me to open my mouth to tell somebody about you. When's the last time we prayed that? Let's read on. He says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead raise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul says, I die daily. For a Christian to live is Christ, and to die is gain, the Bible says. But as a Christian, as a resurrected child of God, we're supposed to die to ourselves. Die to our wants and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. When's the last time you prayed and asked God to use you in that way? God, help me. Let's get to the resurrection. Then the Bible says, it says, for since by a man came death, by came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all died, and so, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and on down, but go to verse 30. He says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest unto you rejoicing, it says, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead raise not? He said, what would it do me any good if I fought with beasts? Wouldn't do me no good, man, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. Let us eat and drink just like they're doing at the bar, for tomorrow we die. A Christian has no business being a place of a place where people, man, don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And trying to drink their sorrows away, trying to pop pills to get sorrows away, or trying to find happiness outside of Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around with that crowd? You ever notice when your kids go to somebody's house, they come back acting like them? You go hang around lost people, you'll come back acting like them. Now, I'm not telling you not to witness to them. I'm not telling you not have friends. I'm not saying that. The Lord's saying evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your what? What? Come on now. We know about everything else in life. We know how to use our iPhone, our iPad, our all this stuff. And we don't know how to get a hold of God. And we don't know how to live for him. We don't even know where the gospel is. We don't know where the Bible talks about the resurrection. Somebody asked you a question today. How do I get saved? How can I get saved? How many in this room say, I'm saved, preacher? I know without a doubt. Raise your hand. So if somebody came, I said, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, hey, can you show somebody how to be saved today? Can you show them? You should be able to say, yes, sir, I can. Why? Because I've been in the book. Brother Ryan was talking about this morning, thank God for the book. Amen. We got the book. Now look on down, verse 35. He said, I speak this to your shame. For some man will say, How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. You shouldn't call nobody fool because you're in danger of hellfire. That's what the world says. Paul said, you're a fool. He's talking to Christians. You're a fool if you don't know it. The devil will fool you. He says, thou fool. Don't get mad at me now. Don't you get mad at me and say, oh, he's going around calling everybody a fool. No, the Bible calls you a fool. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. He says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear again grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another a flesh of beasts, another flesh of fish, and another flesh of birds. And there are also celestial bodies, and there are terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star different from another, star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You read your Bible. We're getting ready to read over here. It's sown in corruption. This body's going to go to the ground unless the Lord comes back in the rapture and takes us out of here. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So as it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. He says, as the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne in the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. One day the Lord's going to give you a body just like his. Amen. That's why we pray for the rapture. If you know your Bible, you'll find in your Bible that you'll say, the Bible says, we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption, all so on. Look on down what it says. Now, I say, brethren, here's a verse. Here it is. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. If the rapture takes place right now, folks, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord's going to change your vile body, fashioned like on his glorious body. Your blood's going to be left behind. Your blood is the problem. All our diseases are in the blood. The Lord's going to leave the blood behind. I've had some people say, why can't he change it? He can change it, but he's going to leave it. Why? Because it's so corrupt. You say, what kind of blood are we going to have in our body? You'll have living water. You know, when Adam and Eve was walking in the garden, they didn't have the blood that you and I have in us now. They didn't have that. They had living water, pure living water. When they walked through there, remember that little fairy tale they talked about, Snow White? Adam and Eve, when they walked through the garden, they had pure water in them. When Eve ate from that fruit, it changed it. It changed the blood. Man, one day we're going to have living water. Jesus said, Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he had no blood in him. He had water. You know what he said? They said, he's a spirit. He said, flesh and bone. He didn't mention no blood. Why? His blood was shed for you. His blood was on the altar for you. His blood covered the universe for you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Man, when they start singing, you know, isn't there something how all the religions don't want to sing about the blood anymore? They don't want you to mention the blood of Jesus Christ. They say that's a bloody religion. No, the precious blood of Jesus is what washed away my sin. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Romans, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it was God's blood.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was God, had God's blood in him. You don't believe me? Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 20. Look what the Bible says. I got to hurry quick. Time is flying by. What I'm trying to do this morning is just give you a Bible lesson. Bible lesson here. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. And make you remember what Jesus done for us. Look what the Bible says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost. I like that. The Holy Ghost. Which have made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his what? His own blood. Go back to 1 Corinthians. We'll finish up. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Thank God there's seven mysteries in the Word of God. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I heard that a lot of churches use that and put over the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And that would be a good verse for the nursery. But it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, there's a lot of preachers that preach this, that Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he went on the earth for 40 days. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You read your Bible. He went on the earth for 40 days. I got some preacher friends that believe that when the last trump is talking about, we're going to hear trumpets, and we're going to go down the road, and all of a sudden somebody will send me some kind of text saying, hey, man, there's people hearing sounds, all sound like a trumpet blowing all around the world. Just recently. How many of y'all have heard that? Y'all heard that? And, man, can you imagine if the Lord allows for 40 days? You'd be walking down the road, and all of a sudden you hear, Alan, and a trumpet. You go, what in the world? And it goes on for 40 days. You know, most Christians, they'll probably take more Percocets or something. They'll think, oh, I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. I'll be going, woo! Man, we're about ready to go out of here. Can you imagine if the Lord showed you, if we had a date that we could run up here, like the deficit. But if we had a date, the deficit's growing like crazy. But if we had a date, say, all right, countdown to the rapture, and we knew how much time we had, if we knew it, we'd all be different. Can y'all say amen to that? But we know it's close. We'd be sitting there looking at that clock and seconds going by. You say, man, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to tell my family. I got to tell my relatives. Man, they didn't even know the Lord's coming back.
Yeah, that's right.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see.
Amen.
Any day now.
Yeah.
Any day. So, preacher, they've been saying that for years. Yeah, I'm a lot older than you, and I know that. I'm closer to it than you are.
Amen.
Woo! You say, what does it do for you? Makes me excited.
Yeah.
If I grow old and I'm 80, 90 years old and my wife's got to change my diaper every day, I'm still going to look for Jesus. Hallelujah. She almost got to do it now. I can hear her now. Ew. My mother used to watch my dad's diaper. My mother was so funny. I'll tell you what, they were characters. My dad and mom were characters. My mother, my father would say, Mommy, I need a change. And she goes, oh, good Lord, God. And she'd go in the room and she'd say, sit down on the bed. And she'd go, poof, knock him down. Now, you all might not think that's funny, but I thought it was funny. And she would knock him down. He'd lay down there. And then she goes, open your legs up. And she'd pull him. And she'd take powder and she'd powder him up and everything. She'd put the diaper back on. If the Lord don't come back, that's what's going to happen to us. I can hear you young bucks now. It ain't going to happen to me. Oh. Yeah. How do we get on that stuff, man? I don't know. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's get away from the diaper. Go back to the Bible. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what it was, being changed. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And so when this mortal, or this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? Death does have a sting to it. That's why we pray for the rapture. Because there is no sting in the rapture. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? I've stood over many graves, and that verse came to my mind. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? We just buried Keith back in December. I'm looking at that grave. One day Keith is going to come up. He's going to be shouting too.
Yeah.
I tell you, you ought to get in the habit of shouting right now.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
You ought to get in the habit of it. Because one day, you're going to shout. And I'm going to run over and get in your face. And I'm going to say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
Yeah.
And I might even point him out. Lord, come over here. Lord, listen to him now. Listen to him now. Listen to him. Sorry, dog. Wouldn't live for, God. The sting of death is sin. You know why you lose your shout? You'll lose your shout in your life because of sin.
Yeah.
You'll let sin build up, build up, build up, and build up until it kills you. You'll lose your shout because of sin. We got to daily confess it.
Yeah.
Daily get clean.
Amen.
If you don't, you'll lose your shout.
The
sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us to what?
Victory.
Come on, everybody, what, say it with me. What?
Victory.
But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living a victorious Christian life? So, preacher, I've got some defeats. Well, a Christian is going to be, if he lives a Christian life, is not always going to be always on top, but he'll still have victory in his life. Because he knows, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know all things work together. Our last verse, we'll close with this. I just wanted to give you these verses this morning. Here's the verse, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, woo! You're my beloved brethren.
Yeah.
My sisters. I love you. I want to see you have the victory. I want your children to have the victory.
Yeah.
God wants it more than I ever want. He wants you to have victory. To give him praise and not be ashamed of him. To stand up and say, Lord, I love you. You're mine. I'm yours. And Lord, I'm willing to die to myself. You know what missionaries got to do? When God calls them, they've got to die to themselves. They have dreams just like you and I. They have dreams of being a house and money and things like that. They got to die to themselves. Being a pastor is not easy. You got to die to yourself. Being a Christian, you die to yourself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. I'm coming up on 30 years being here. 30 years. I'll be in church if I'm sick. And I'll tell you I'm sick. I'll tell you, stay away from me. I don't want to be movable. I want to be unmovable.
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Wednesday night is probably the most important prayer time.
Sure.
But we got people, man, they go, I'm feeling kind of sick tonight. My wife will say to me, I always kid around the house. My kids will say, I'm kind of feeling sick. I say, what day is it? Do I say that? I'll go, what day is it? And they go, what are you talking about? I said, what day is it? And they'll say, Wednesday. I said, the devil makes sure that you'll have a little headache. If that's all it takes to get you out, if that's all, I'm tired. I see people on Wednesday night, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're here. If that's all it takes, he'll give you a headache anytime you want it. He'll give you a little sickness anytime you want it. But you know, isn't it funny? On Thursday morning, like, whoop, payday today. Glory to God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, I'm not into the work of the Lord. Then why not?
Amen.
Why not? Why not? Why ain't you in the work of the Lord? Working around the church, that's in the work of the Lord. Running the bus route, that's work of the Lord. Sunday school, that's work of the Lord. Passing out tracts, work of the Lord. But therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you pray over your food? Or are you like the animals? Just... You going to go to a restaurant today? You want me in the restaurant? I tell you what, I double dog dare you to stand up and say, let's pray. Let's pray. When before the doctors allow the doctors ever work on my children or anything, I say, let's pray. My grandson, I got to tell you this story. I'll be done. My grandson fell off the truck and busted his head open. He was bleeding like a stuffed hog. I picked him up. It knocked him out. I carried him in the house. I laid him on the floor, and the floor was full of blood. And I said, give me a rag. He'll be fine. And I put the rag on his head. My daughter, Becky, flipped out. She flipped. I said, he's fine. He's fine. Just put this rag on his head. He'll be fine. And he wakes up, oh, you know. And so she said, I'm going to take him to the hospital. Josh said, I'm going with you. So they take off. We went to the revival meeting. And Josh calls me that night. We got home. He said, Dad, can you come down to the hospital? He said, and get me. He said, Jordan also wants you to stop at McDonald's and get him a chicken nugget deal. I said, man, y'all still there? He said, yeah, 6 hours we've been in here. So I said, all right. So I brought Linda down, my wife. I let her out. And I said, here's the nuggets. Take it to him. No, I had to go get the nuggets. That's what it was. I had to go get them. So I went and got them. And I come back. He said, Dad, they're getting ready to put a staple in his head. Dad, you better come in here because he ain't going to let them do it unless you're in here. So I walk in. I got a suit on, a shirt and tie and everything. The doctor's trying to instruct my daughter. He's sitting there very seriously telling her. I walk in. Jordan's sitting on the bed. Josh is standing over in the corner. And I walk in. I said, I have the chicken nuggets, and I got the coat. And I said, come on, Jordan. We're going to go out of here. You don't need no staple. And Becky looks at me and goes, Dad, stop. Stop. Stop it, Dad. And I said, Jordan doesn't need he doesn't need a staple. He's fine. I said, just a little knot, cut his head. He's fine. And I looked at the doctor. I said, ain't that right, doctor? I'm a doctor, too. And the doctor, he was trying not to laugh, but he looked up at me and he goes, well, I agree with you. I said, you do? He said, I went like this. I said, here, you can have a nugget. And Becky and Josh is falling over laughing. And they're going, Dad, stop, stop. I said something else to him. I said, you agree with that? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to take him right now. You agree with that? He said, yes. I said, you can have another nugget. We walked out of there, and the Lord fixed me because somebody was in the waiting room waiting on me. Let me close with this. I'll keep thinking of more stories. Therefore, my brother, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in what? I don't want my labor in vain. You're so vain. Bet you think the song is about you. You're so vain. We're done. If you're